Hey, it's me, Denise, and thank you so much for joining me today. If this is your very first time listening, I just want to throw my arms around you and give you a big electronic hug. This issue is not easy, and I know that it took a lot of strength to even just approach and hit the play button and listen to what I have to say. So I want to thank you so much for taking your time and listening to this episode. And this also applies to those of you who have been listening for multiple episodes. And if you haven't done so already, make sure that you hit the subscribe button so as soon as I drop an episode, you'll be able to listen to it. And for all of you guys, I like to be friends with you on social media. Make sure that you follow me on Twitter, Denise G. Lee, or on LinkedIn, Denise George Lee, where I will motivate, inspire, and encourage you. And make sure that you check out the show notes for some other resources so that we can still stay in touch with one another. The concepts that I'm going to be talking to you about can only be found in Amazing Attitude. Amazing Attitude is a 21-day program where I walk and talk with you and just explain with you about how you can be the better, happier, and more fulfilled version of yourself. Amazing Attitude can be found at denisechilee.com. Click the courses tab and then click on Amazing Attitude. And with all that being said, let's talk about anger. Now, this is really fun for me talking about the subject because I have been known for the longest time in my childhood of origin of being known as Misty. And the reason why I was called Misty was because I always felt a sense of self-righteousness and a sense of what things should be done and how to get it done and the way it should be done and all the details. And the reason behind that was because I was very angry. I was very hostile. The reasons behind that was because I was in a very chaotic, abusive, dysfunctional situation with all my family members for different issues. And I felt the need to have a big sense of control over not just what other people were doing, but what I was doing and have everything down to the particulars. And if things did not fall in line with that, what I thought was right, I would just burst out into anger. And before we talk about really anger in detail, I just want to explain to you that anger in its right context is a good thing. Anger is basically a sign that says that something is not working well, something's not off. But for a lot of us, we have taken that anger and massaged it and morphed it into a way of thinking that the only way that you can think, react, is for anger, bitterness, resentment. And for a lot of us, that anger, that bitterness, that resentment has caused us to limit ourselves, it's caused us to isolate. The cost is far exceeding any benefit that we've ever received. And for a lot of us, we just kind of shrug our shoulders and say, well, that's just the only way that I know how to operate. That was the way it was modeled for me. That was the only way I believe to interact. And I talk a little bit about in my course, Amazing Attitude, about how we can dissect and understand why our family members were behaving and why it impacted us. But for the purposes of our time with one another, I'll just say that in the right context, anger is just basically an alert that something needs to be done, something needs to be changed. But unfortunately, because we've never learned how to really process anger, we have allowed it to literally corrupt our souls, meaning the fact that we cannot even think straight. We can't even process what is going on with our reality, what causes things to go the way they did, for example. And this has happened to me a lot of times, and even within my marriage, but you can probably think about situations that happened to you in your own personal life. For example, this morning, for instance, my husband and I and our family, we have this hot water heater, and it was irritating me beyond ends that I was always filling up the hot water, because he drinks a lot of hot water for teas and other things. And in my mind, I was thinking to myself, he's just being insincere. He's not wanting to do his part because he's drinking the water. He should fill up the water. And I would get in the past, I would get really angry and personalize and make it feel like it's all about me. And this morning I asked him, I said, I'm just trying to understand what's going on. And he said, I'm sorry, I got it last night and it was dark and I didn't even see how much water was left in the gauge. Here's the thing, for a lot of us, we have personalized so much and made it all about us and less about exactly from the other side of the equation. And for a lot of us, just even taking a moment and asking why, what's happening, what's going on, that can actually diffuse a lot of the anger. It can end a lot of the quarrels and the misunderstandings, because if we just drop our own self-seeking desire to feel angry, we can be able to learn and discover. So in the time that we have together right now, I want to talk about why we need to drop the anger, why it's ineffective, and more importantly, how to get to the other side, that where if you do experience anger, you can be able to put it in the right context, you can be able to process it and not feel overwhelmed. So often I've talked with many clients over the years, and they've just told me that the anger feels like a tidal wave, that they cannot even think straight. The anger feels blindly, and they're just making bad mistake after bad mistake because they feel as if they are driven through forces that are beyond their control towards the death spiral that is anger. And if that's you, I want you to get a pen, get a paper, get something to write with, and let's dive into this, okay? First of all, let's talk about the characteristics of anger and why anger isn't efficient for us. Now, anger, again, like I said in the beginning of our time with one another, anger is definitely a signal that things are not working right. For example, if you see someone mistreat the elderly or the a child, or you hear about someone who was murdered in a callous and a despicable way, and you hear about school shootings or all this other stuff, and you have a right to feel anger. You have a right to feel a sense of indignation, a righteous indignation, say this should not occur in our society. We shouldn't tolerate this behavior. But it's one thing to have that anger and say, I am going to do my part to help minimize the aggression and minimize the anger. And there's another thing to say, well, I'm going to hate anybody and everybody who even hints at any type of personality that could yield to dangerous, funky, nasty behavior. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to dissect what anger looks like. And we're talking about how you process the anger, so that if you are in those situations where you feel angry and conflicted and upset, you'll be able to process it in a mature and healthy way. That all being said, let's dive into our time with one another. First of all, anger has no patience with people. Anger demands its own way immediately, and it's willing to sacrifice the best interests of other people in pursuit of its own goals. I see this so much time where we want to feel as if we are right above all, and we don't want to hear anything, and we might ignore, we might cut people off in the middle of their explanation. We don't want to hear anything but what we want to hear. And that is not how we build bridges professionally and personally. We have to have patience, and patience is to understand what's going on with a person. I gave the example of the water heater example for my husband. When you're actually just allowing someone to speak from their perspective, it helps diffuse that anger, and it allows you to be more patient and understanding. Anger is cruel. Not only is anger impatient, but anger sees weakness in another person as an opportunity to take advantage of that person. Have you ever imagined when you wanted to prove somebody wrong at the expense of everything, including damaging the relationship, because you wanted to feel a sense of feeling stronger and more important? Well, that is a toxic place for you as well as the other person. This is where you're going to have to ask yourself, is winning really worth damaging this relationship, damaging the project or whatever that you guys are working on? Sometimes if you honestly just got honest with yourself, it's just not worth the cost, okay? Anger thrives on envy. The anger The angry person believes that others' success is always to some degree at the expense of his or her own self-advancement. Therefore, he or she is threatened by the achievements of others, often envious of their accomplishments, and seeks to overtake them by any means possible. He or she is willing to undermine others in pursuing his or her own desires. Oh my goodness, this is ringing doorbells as I think about this right now. I think about on my personal side when I heard other people who were getting married or engaged or starting relationships, I would feel a sense of bitterness and anger, and I would say, well, that relationship's not going to last long. They don't look good together. They're not going to work well. And that toxic venom in myself would actually repel potential suitors who could be in a relationship with me. You know, in hindsight, I'm just thinking about that. Or I think about even my professional life when I heard about people who were in my field who were making more money or advancing further. I wouldn't say anything on social media, but I would have these venomous thoughts about how they weren't entitled to it, or they were cheating, or somehow they weren't doing the things I want them, and they just seem like they were being rewarded while I, quote unquote, was doing everything. It's kind of funny as you think about anger. A lot of us have this magnanimous attitude as if we are better than other people. Funny how when we are in a state of anger, we somehow blow up ourselves and minimize other people in the process in terms of their hard work, their dedication, their own pursuit for excellence. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make with all of this is to say that for a lot of us, when we're in that blind rage, angry self-righteousness, we forget to look at the situation objectively, okay? Now, anger is pushy and it's often discourteous. The angry person sees common courtesies and the sensitivities of others as bothersome distractions. The angry person has no real desire to put other people at ease or show genuine concern for their well-being. This is the thing about what anger does for us. It takes us away from connecting. It takes us away from really emphasizing and understanding. And it causes us to really damage our relationships. I don't want you, if you're growing your business or you're trying to repair relationships with friends or family, to believe that once those bridges are burnt, you can never repair them. You can absolutely repair them. You can absolutely start one thing at a time. Now, as you repair, as you rebuild, it may not come in the form that you wanted or expected to be. But I will say, by moment, if you are sincere about wanting to be angry, it will get better. And again, I talk about in my course, Amazing Attitude, about the ways that you can be able to do that. Check the show notes. But for our time with one another, I just want to say that, yes, you can rebuild and get things better. And how do you do that, you may be asking. I've been spending all this time talking with you about what anger looks like, how it's destructive, how it's chaotic, but I haven't really gotten into the meat and potatoes of how you can solve it. And I'm glad that you have been patient. And now let's get into it. The first step for you to resolve the anger and feel that resolution in your heart and start building bridges is number one, to understand the feeling behind the feeling. For a lot of us, we have been working on literally autopilot, feeling angry, feeling betrayed, feeling a sense of irritation and frustration, but not really understanding the reason behind it. Now let's talk about it, okay? First of all, you may feel angry or disgruntled, but the underlying feeling or emotion is you feel mistreated or abused. This happens so many times with people pleasers, where you feel that the person that you're giving your all, your gifts, your talents and work or your personal life or your friends or family will somehow recognize what you're doing, and they'll turn around and they'll acknowledge what you're doing, or at least give you some reprieve or tell you that you should stop, or perhaps it's not enough or whatever, and you feel angry because you're not being acknowledged for the gifts, okay? You may feel disappointed or hurt. And the underlying feeling behind that is that you feel betrayed or let down. How many times have you thought that if you do one thing that if someone else would hold their end of the bargain, even if you never really formally told them, this was their unofficial contract with you. I can't think so many times I thought that if I did certain chores around my house, that my husband would notice and then he would build upon other chores so related to what I'm doing. For example, if I was cleaning the house, that he would take the opportunity to do some other work to enhance what I cleaned and yada, yada, yada. The point I'm trying to make is that because I wasn't even clear about what I expected, I felt betrayed. Okay, that translate that into your work. Perhaps you thought that if you sent out these reports to certain people or that you were doing certain activities that your superiors or your clients or whoever would notice and then they would take upon themselves to start up a new initiative that they never thought about, but you've thought about it because you've been always thinking about how to make things better. Here's the thing, we've got to be clear about what we want, okay? With others and with others and more importantly with ourselves, okay? Another feeling is you might feel deceived, and the underlying feeling is that you feel manipulated or used. Here's the thing. We live in a selfish world with selfish people, and everybody's looking to get their advantage or get what they want out of life. And I just want to let you know that there's really no way of living this world without someone trying to take advantage of one another, either by accident or no intentions or just being manipulative on purpose. But I want to let you know that that's why it's so imperative, if you haven't done so already, to really work on your boundaries, to really work on explaining to others and to yourself what you will and you will not tolerate, okay? Lastly is, and this is a biggie for I think a lot of my clients, and sometimes perhaps you, if you're listening, you're nodding your head listening, is that you might feel defensive. And the underlying feeling is that you've been threatened or accused. For a lot of us, our reputation is a form of security. Our standing in our society or with our friends or family, we want to be viewed as nothing but productive and helpful and supportive. And if anyone even hints that is contrary to the case, it might make us feel jarred. It might make us feel rattled. It might take us off into emotional places that we aren't prepared or comfortable with, okay? So what I want to do now that we've kind of understanding the feelings behind the feelings, is I want for us to help to remove the anger once and for all, is to get really super clear about our needs, our wants, and why we want what we want. A lot of times when we're angry, we're not really even sure why we're angry. We just feel that things are not working the way that we want. And we feel that the best way is to either go into one of two extremes, where we either clam up and we isolate and we go into a form of personal abandon. When I say personal abandon, I mean like that you are not even willing to talk or negotiate with anyone, including yourself, that you just want to give up and go depressed and go inward. Or you go into this defiant, outwardly aggressive, where you feel that you have to fight tooth and nail with no sense of rest to destroy or slash anyone that seems opposed to you or your agenda. And I want to let you know that there is a better way of processing things. There's a better way of being able to understand yourself, to be able to communicate your needs. And now I'm hoping that as you're continuing to listen, you're going to write down at least 5 things that matter most to you. And then I want you to write right next to it, why does it matter? For example, for me, my word is my bond. It really matters to me because I believe that if we are very clear and honest about what we can and we cannot do, we can be able to avoid conflicts. We don't have to overtask ourselves. We can be able to stay focused and clear. And when someone doesn't do what I want, even if I explained it, I feel a sense of betray. I feel a sense of that somehow they're not respecting how important having your word as your bond, having those clear deadlines. And when I think about in reality, I gave way too much power, way much authority to someone that was literally allowing myself to be emotionally distressed. If you're giving your power away to someone to the point where your world will rock, you will feel as if everything is going to fall apart at the seams, that's a clear sign that you have given too much power away. And in those cases, you're going to really have to ask yourself whether or not this person is taking on way more than they agree to. Perhaps they didn't even think they were responsible as much as you thought they were to be. Perhaps you need to redefine your expectations about what they can and cannot do. Perhaps you need to be able to divide work in a way amongst other people so that you don't get disappointed if things don't get done in a certain time frame. The point I'm trying to make is that for a lot of us, we have been giving literally our power away and not thinking clearly about the alternatives, clearly about what we really want. We haven't been able to express to others why we need the things that we need, okay? There's a common phrase or that you may have heard that, you know, the first time shame on you and then the second time shame on me, meaning that if you take the time and explain it and it still goes sideways, that means that you failed on your end to protect yourself and you have failed on your end to see what you can do on your end to resolve things. So I just want to use this time as when we're feeling angry, I challenge us to see whether or not we've been putting too much power unto other people and less onto ourselves. I want you now to start thinking about all the ways that you can gain power back in your life. Can you do better with your spiritual life, your physical life, your emotional life? Can you be spending more time to feeling good about yourself and your worth and your value so that you don't feel as if you're giving all your power away if things don't go exactly right in the right time frame? Are you being realistic about what things should be happening? Are you putting everything into the, if this isn't happening 100% of the time, that means that you're a failure and that the project is doomed and everything's going to go to crap? That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of energy, negative energy. And I don't want that for you. I don't want you to feel as if you are giving everything away all at once without even asking yourself whether or not it's even healthy or productive, okay? This is a really heavy topic. I talk a lot about this in depth in my course, Amazing Attitude. Check the show notes below. But I'll just say that for you, if you've been facing a lot of anger and a lot of pain around not having things line up, there's usually a truckload of things behind it. Perhaps, you know, it was modeled for you with your friends and your family where everyone either went to extremes, in either extreme self-abandonment, extreme lashing out and frustration or sabotage. And I just want to let you know that you are totally in control of your life, of your future, and where you want to head. It's a bigger and brighter world, and I want you to see that. That being said, let's recap and talk about some of the highlights that we've shared with one another. First and foremost, that anger definitely is a choice. Anger is something that you can choose to go. For a lot of us, anger is subdivided in so many little compartments, either resentment or not feeling satisfied, a sense of betrayal. And I want you to unpack and understand the feelings behind that. For a lot of us, we've just gone on autopilot and we haven't been able to analyze that. And I also want you to understand how anger is actually a form of pride, a form of covering up a lot of insecurities. Analyze, understand that once you take your time to really understand people and their motivations, perhaps the anger will go away. And lastly, I just want to share that this is a moment by moment, not a day by day thing. I know there's some days it's going to feel as if you're going to be on top of the world and nothing's going to rattle you or upset you. And then other times it may feel like everything is going to crap. But I want to let you know that give yourself grace, give yourself patience. Let yourself know that you are more than capable of being at peace and being at ease, because there's no reason that you have to live in constant conflict with yourself or the world. Well, that is it. Thank you so much for listening. Was there something that I said that was like, what, Denise? Like, I really, that was really helpful, or I didn't understand that, or let's talk about this more. Send me a message either way at hello@denisechili.com. Love to unpack it. Love to talk to you more about in detail. Well, that is it. Thank you so much for listening. Take care and be awesome.